Welcome to Game Changers Live. I'm your host, Dennis Troianos, and I'm joined by my co-host, Norman Sherman. Game Changers Live is sponsored by the Troianos Group, innovation in executive search and consulting. Today, we're here with Brent Shedd, the general manager of G2 in San Francisco. Brett, you're the manager or the general manager and executive director of G2 USA in San Francisco. Is that right?
That's correct.
So tell us about G2 and give us a sense of what the G2 brand stands for.
Well, G2 is a one-to-one focused company. We do everything below the line, but that has grown over the years to encompass everything from all the different touch points that take place from the home all the way to the shelf and everything in between. So, and that covers everything, all the data that's involved between there and all of the, that encompasses outdoor. I don't want to limit it to, I don't want anybody thinking that that's just in the mailbox or that's just packaging and things like that.
Okay.
When you think about what a consumer experiences from the time they walk through the door of their home until they walk through the door of a retailer and up to the shelf, there's a world of visuals and a world of interactions that take place in between mm-hmm. those two spaces, and that's where G2 focuses on.
So that's a lot of things. What don't you do at G2?
What don't we do? We do not consider ourselves to be a mass agency. So from a positioning standpoint, we don't tend to be the carnival barker that is out there shouting, hoping that we're going to hit someone as they come by. We position ourselves very much as a one-to-one communicator.
When you talk about the customer experience, how the customer experiences the brand, how the customer is, I would assume, communicated to and communicates back, tell us about how G2 has focused on that customer-centric marketing and what that customer experience is like.
So we've developed a proprietary methodology called the Purchase Decision Journey, and that has a lot of tools and workshops around it. But what it does is it allows us to step back and map out exactly what occurs, literally starting at the level of influence and the thought processes that go into what we do as consumers when we are considering, researching, pursuing the purchase of an individual product.
Okay.
And it allows us to get that out of our heads and onto paper, where you can now step back and look at that and realize where are the areas that can be influenced that may not have been immediately evident, right? Because the advertising space has been hard-coded into very traditional vehicles, whether that's television or radio or outdoor, etc. And there's an entire world of other possibilities that exist if you're able to step back and look at what actually happens in our lives from the time that we are influenced towards a particular product or a need arises that makes us need to find a solution for that need. And when you're able to look at what occurs from that point all the way to the point that we fulfill that need with the product or service, you find an entire universe of touch points, some traditional, some very non-traditional.
Is there a campaign that jumps out, you know, very, very specifically to you when it comes to how G2 and your team has taken the customer journey from sort of step A to step B to step C, and created a unique proposition for a client?
So I can draw upon something that we've done very recently for Timex, just because it's top of mind, right?
Uh-huh.
Timex always thought of itself as a watch, and rightfully so. Timex makes a lot of watches, and that's always been their history. But when we took a step back and we looked at how people think about Timex and at what point in that purchase decision journey someone came upon the decision to purchase a Timex, what we discovered was that Timex is actually more of a fashion accessory than it is a utility, like a watch. So what that led us to do was to move where Timex presented itself at retail out of the traditional watch section in a department store and into the clothing section, where people are actually making fashion decisions and looking for fashion accessories. And that has been a significant mind shift for that company that came out of the purchase decision process.
That's quite remarkable, right? What was it about Timex that got it to be perceived as a fashion accessory like that? Was it price, or was it something in the brand personality? And is Timex different from other watches in its price class in that regard?
So, yes. I mean, obviously you have watch manufacturers that have established themselves in the category based on different things, right? So you have a Rolex, or you have an Omega that are very high precision instruments that pride themselves on how you find them, right? And what they deliver for you. And you see in some of the advertising for Rolex where they'll have celebrities endorsing their products, and they're not trying to make themselves into a fashion accessory. They're trying to say that quality people use quality products, and they're the quality product that should be used. Timex, on the other hand, has taken the approach, not saying that they're not a quality product, but they've come out with watches and things that have interchangeable bands and ways that you can customize the timepiece itself. And the only reason that you're customizing that timepiece is to fit with what you're doing with the rest of your outfit, whether you're matching your bag or your shoes or your tie or whatever in the world that is. And so that once they started coming out with interchangeable pieces to the timepieces themselves, and this isn't across their entire line, of course, but once you started coming out with that interchangeability, it shifted the focus from being just a timepiece to actually being a fashion accessory. And it shifted how people shopped for those things or when they thought about those things.
So that's a fascinating story, right? This is a great example of how consumer insight can drive not only communications programs, but whole marketing plans. Mm-hmm. Do you as a company have your own, you talked about a little bit of your process, but do you have your own approach to unearthing those consumer insights?
Yeah, so one of the foundation of G2 has always been that the insights that we come up with for our consumers, we try to find those insights in the data. And we have something that I don't know if I've successfully spread it through the company yet or not, but I call forensic analysis, which is very different from someone who is looking at a database and looking at data that is inside that database and turning around and telling you what the database, what the information that's in the database says. That's analysis. But forensic analysis is actually looking at that data much like a detective would and finding cause and effect relationships that are not necessarily immediately evident to someone who's just looking at the data on face value. And that's where the true insights come forward, the insights that you would not normally take away from your business, but a forensic analyst can. And those are the people at G2 that I'm the proudest to be associated with, because they're geniuses in and of themselves. But the being able to come to a client and show them an insight that may at first blush make no sense to them, and then backing that up with their own data that shows, we all know that people say something very different from what they do. And one of the focuses at G2 is We want to get past what they say, which you'll get in a lot of research, and get straight to what they do. And a lot of people will do things that they don't even understand why they do them, but they still do them. So if we can find the cause and effect relationship between what they're doing and why they did it, even if it doesn't make sense to the individual at the time, we'll pull that trigger every time and get them to do a lot more of that, even if they don't understand why that's working on them.
This is Dennis Troianos, and we're talking to Brent Shedd, the General Manager and Executive Director of G2 USA in San Francisco. Norm, I think you had a follow-up question.
So that's an amazing skill set, right? For those people who can extract those insights, it seems like it's a real combination of deep left brain, your ability to play in the data and extract things, and then incredible right brain at the same time, because it's not readily apparent necessarily from the data. People have to make jumps and reach conclusions that maybe isn't just completely evident. Where do you find people like that?
That's a good question. You wind up talking to a lot of people. This will make common sense to everyone, that people who have a certain skill set tend to know other people that have that certain skill set. So once you fall into the appropriate crowd, you can follow the links from one to the other until you find the right person that fits with your need and your culture and your agency, in my case. So you have to kiss a lot of frogs to get your prince, mm-hmm. but the princes are invaluable. And I'm not, I certainly would not want to convey the message that, you know, our forensic analysts are by any means the highest on the totem pole at the agency. You have just as much trouble finding truly strong creative people, because the bar at G2 is not that you're able to produce creative work. There are a lot of people that can produce creative work, but what we need are creatives who can run with those forensic analysts, creatives that can take the insight that's coming from those analysts, sit down with the strategic planners, and take those insights and turn them into really rich, active programs for the clients. And that's not the same thing as a creative that comes up with this would be a really cool idea. Let's go do some research to justify it.
Right.
It's the complete opposite of that approach.
Sure. Well, that raises the question about culture and about the working environment within G2. So as you think about the G2 ecosystem, one of the words that comes to mind as we've talked in the past is it's a challenging atmosphere. You describe it as barrier free. I'd like to understand what you mean by barrier free and how that translates into a great place to work and a great place for clients to take advantage of in terms of opportunities for creative thinking and strategic thinking.
So what I mean by barrier free is that, you know, when you come into G2SF, I'm a huge proponent of three principles, basically. And I term them by KPI, which a lot of people know as key performance indicator. And that's by design, because they are key performance indicators at our shop. But the K stands for kindness. I know it's very crunchy, but we're in San Francisco. I can get away with that. But the kindness stands for, you know, literally not talking smack about your fellow employees. You don't talk smack about the company, because we all work here, right? And we all make a choice to work here. So you want to work someplace that you're proud, someplace that makes you feel good to come to work every day, because you spend more time at work than you do at home. So if you're not thrilled to be there, I want to help you find someplace that you'll be thrilled to come to work for. But kindness also means, you know, if a meeting starts at 9 o'clock, you're there at 9 o'clock. If you're there at 9:15, you just inconvenienced everybody else in the room for 15 minutes, and that's not being kind. The P stands for passion. We're all very passionate about what we do, and everyone deserves to be passionate about what they do for a living. And you'll be passionate about something that you are intrinsically good at, or something that you strongly want to be good at. And so G2 is a great environment for people that want to be passionate about what they work on or are passionate for what they do, whether that's as a creative or a project manager or a strategic planner or client service person or even a technology person. If you're passionate about that line of work, you will find a ready home at G2 because you're surrounded by other people that this isn't what they're not showing up and punching a clock. They show up because they're excited about what they do, and they're excited to be there with a team of other people that are equally jazzed about what they do. And that extends actually to the clients too. I want people working on client businesses that make sense to them, client businesses that they believe in, so that they feel they're in there with the client. And one of the greatest compliments that I've ever had in a client meeting was actually with a CEO. When we had finished a presentation, he laughed a little bit and he said, "I swear, I think you guys care more about our business than we do." And that is exactly that's what I want every CEO walking away from a creative pitch or a strategic workshop with G2, believing in their heart, because it's true. We pour our heart and soul into our clients' businesses, and it's very real for us, and their success is our success. So the P stands for passion, and the I stands for innovation and imagination. We're an agency, and an agency is based on ideas and creativity. And I've told my staff 100 times that I would much rather step outside my office and have to duck a Nerf dart that shot over my head than drop my pen and hear it hit the floor. I want activity, I want noise, I want energy in the agency. Because that means people are alive. And if a client comes to your agency and they're having more fun at their location than they are at your agency, they're with the wrong agency. So anyway, that's what the I stands for. We have a weekly ideation deliverable where everyone is required to come up with a new idea, either for a client or for the agency, every week. And then we discuss those ideas, and the ones that make sense to present to the clients, we present to the clients, and the ones that make sense as potentially new products for the agency itself, we pursue that, and the other ones we chuckle about.
So this is a really interesting area, right? It's sort of a way, you're creating a culture, but it's also a way of differentiating you from other alternative agencies out there. This is a really hard time in the agency business, right? Margins are being squeezed. Client loyalties are at all-time low. The rate of change in the communications vehicles out there are accelerating at a faster rate. What is it in this kind of environment? Is it what you talked about that enables you to be successful in this difficult kind of environment?
I think the environment itself is what it plays to the advantage of an agency like G2, because we've got two key aspects that help position our clients very well for that kind of environment. You've got a cadre of very smart strategic thinkers who are used to thinking in non-traditional ways, because again, we keep going back to the consumer experience, that purchase decision journey. So we're used to thinking between the cracks, right? We're always looking for a new and different way of reaching a consumer. So you've got that aspect to it. And then you've got the forensic analysis that I talked about, which is these sometimes quirky insights that come from cause and effect relationships within your data. So as the environment keeps changing so rapidly, you can you can see how the more the environment changes, the more those forensic analysis, analytical people play a key role, because they start to identify cause and effect relationships that weren't there before. And it's because the environment is changing, right? So now all of a sudden they're identifying, actually, people are the role of an influencer in their social network is actually more important than something that they saw on television or something that they heard on the radio or any number of these different touch points, right? So it's being able to draw those lines that actually winds up looking a bit like a bowl of spaghetti at the end of the day that can draw, you know, that can make the difference.
So as you know, we're an executive search firm, and this program will probably be heard by literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have great talent, and some of those people have phenomenal talent in the analytics area. Invariably, these folks might be attracted to what you just said. So if you were sitting here in front of one of the most talented forensic analysts in America, and they were considering an opportunity here at G2, what would you say to them? What were the two or three things that you would say that would really get them juiced and excited about working here on clients like Adobe and Glaxo and Coca-Cola and so on and so forth?
So what I would tell them is that they have a lot of choices in where they can go with that skill set, right? You can take that skill set to a management consulting firm, right? And that consulting firm, they'll bring you in, you'll do your forensic analysis, and you'll provide the recommendation to clients, right? The difference with coming to a G2 is not only do you get to provide that insight to a client, but you get to see that insight brought to life in a consumer program that actually moves the business. And not to say that with a management consulting firm you wouldn't get to see it brought to life. You would, but you wouldn't be part of it. Whereas at G2, you're part of the team that ideates how that insight now plays into an actual consumer revenue generating program. And you get to be a part of the team that puts the creative overlay onto that and the strategic planning overlay onto that. And you're part of a group of individuals oriented to a singular goal that becomes bringing this program to life and launching it into the world.
This is Dennis Troianos, and I'm joined by my co-host Norman Sherman. We're on Game Changers Live, and we're talking with Brent Shedd, the Executive Director and General Manager of G2 US in San Francisco. Brent, we'd like to talk to you a little bit about one of the areas that I think is near and dear to your heart, which is the customer relationship marketing arena. And if you can give our audience a really good sense of how you have created relationships and consumer involvement around what would traditionally be low involvement products.
Sure. Low involvement products are always an interesting space to work in, largely for two reasons, because many CEOs view, so by definition, low involvement products become almost commodities, right? And by low involvement products, we're talking about products that are either purchased infrequently or products that are more, think like a utility type of situation. You tend not to be highly involved with your electricity, and you tend not to be highly involved with a lot of products in your home that you buy and you forget about. That does not mean that the only avenue for success for a manufacturer or a provider of a low involvement category product or service is a race to the bottom on price. When you participate in that kind of a marketing approach, you're undermining your own value in the marketplace. And a lot of CEOs of low involvement category products, they don't invest in marketing because from their perspective, it really is a race to the bottom. And as long as they can be the cheapest price, they'll get the greatest market share and they'll win in the end. The trouble is that there comes a point in time where the ROI doesn't make sense anymore. And at a certain price point, the quality starts breaking down for the consumer. And that's where the train comes off the tracks, right? So instead of taking that approach, we have worked very successfully with low involvement category products and services to actually differentiate them in the marketplace and pull them out of that commodity mindset. And it has everything to do with reorienting the way that they view their relationship with their consumers. They do have a relationship with their consumer in the same way that each one of us has a relationship of varying degrees with every product and service that we interact with. And the question is, we're creatures of habit by nature. We prefer inertia in those areas of low involvement for us. We don't want to make changes because it complicates our already complicated life. So if a low involvement product or service can just confirm for us every now and then that we've made the right choice by choosing them or using them, then we will gladly stay with them and not switch away to somebody else. And we've in some instances, we've actually taken some companies' products and services and turned them into currencies for them, currencies that change the way that they interact with their consumers, that provide value to those consumers, perceived and real, and wind up providing a great deal of value to the companies themselves. So everybody wins in that equation, and that's the direction we always go with our clients.
Could you come up with an example that's fairly current for you that might bring to life what it was that you just went through?
Not one that's actually in the market right now. So
sorry,
I'm on the agenda to speak to some of these things at some upcoming trade shows in 2012, but I'm not.
So we'll be back at you next.
We'll be back at you next year
and ask that same question.
Very good, and we'll have a very involved conversation about that.
Okay, so good.
A cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time talking to CMOs, and brand managers, and people who run marketing businesses. As you think back 6, 8, 12 months ago, I'd like to get a sense of how focused chief marketing officers were on social media then, and in your opinion, are they as focused on social media today?
So social media is one of those areas in the marketing mix that, in my opinion, has not been figured out yet. So there are, and figured out being, there aren't many players in the category, right? Facebook basically dominates this space. So anytime you have a single player dominating a space, you know by definition it has not been fully figured out. That's one aspect to it. The other aspect to it is that companies struggle every day, and we're struggling 6 months ago in measuring the value of a social media campaign to the brand. There are so there are not many social media campaigns and opportunities for an individual to interact with a brand in an authentic way in the social media space. That has not been figured out in its entirety yet. It's going to be, and I believe that as the social media space proliferates beyond what it is today, the way that brands interact with consumers in the social media space will proliferate as well, and we'll have many more opportunities a year from now than we have today.
This is Dennis Troianos, and today I've been joined by my co-host Norman Sherman. We've been talking to Brent Shedd, the General Manager and Executive Director of G2 San Francisco. And what we found out was that building a great culture is about kindness, passion, and innovation. Creating a great customer experience is about getting the insight based on forensic analysis. And the most important thing is authenticity and thinking about your products and merchandising those products in a different way. Brent, thanks for being with us today. We've enjoyed talking to you, and we've enjoyed getting insight into G2 and in your management style.